a podcast later, so. I just want to do something. We're going to take an offering right now. Everybody's saying, we already took an offering. Well, we didn't. That was the offering of our stuff, but God wants more than that. So I saw us doing this when we were worshiping. Because the whole, all three songs, the message was, he wants an offering. He wants us to give our heart. He wants to give our being. And he's inviting the church to come. So I think it's very fitting that we just take a moment and respond to those requests. The invitation.
Envelopes?
Yeah, we're going to. But, yes. I think it's, before we do our physical offering, I think it's important that we respond to the invitation to come. Because the Spirit and the Bride in the end times will both be saying the same thing. They will be saying, come, won't they? And she didn't understand what I was doing, but it's okay. The Lord wants not just our money, not just once a month coming to show up and clean the church. He doesn't want just us to come once a week and pray. He wants spirit, soul, and body every day. He wants us. And when we're singing those songs to him, he's listening. And he's looking to see how surrendered we are. So as you're putting your finances or your offering in the bucket, make sure you add yourself. Make sure you say, Lord, I'm giving it all. I want to give more of myself to you. I want to give you all of my heart. I don't want to withhold any little area. I'm tired of holding back this area, Lord. I want to surrender my heart to you. That's pure worship. That's what pure worship is when we purely surrender and give all. That's pure worship. It's not just pure notes coming out of our mouths. It's true, sincere heart worship. So as you're running your tithing, your offering, your giving, make sure you throw yourself in that envelope and say, Jesus, this is everything. I want to respond to your call, come. Because that's the most important thing we can ever do in our life. Just saying the salvation prayer and just getting baptized is only the beginning of our faith. How about a full salvation? How about spirit, soul, body?
That's right.
A full inhabitation of the Lord inhabiting us.
That's,
Jesus said we are working out our salvation with fear and trembling. It's not enough just to get in the door. It's not enough to have no rewards and just barely be in the back of the throne room.
Yes.
How about let's sit in Papa's lap?
Yes.
How about let's give him every crown we can gain and to be able to lay it at his feet? How about just giving him everything so he can be complete in his seat? And where's the seat? In here. So I really encourage you. It's about our heart response. That's what Jesus is looking for. Because you know what? The church is getting colder.
Yes.
We're getting harder.
Yes.
And we're getting more distant from him every year.
That's right.
That we can't even tell the truth from his voice and other people's voices anymore.
That's right.
We can't tell if a prophecy is from him or not. We can't tell if a messenger is from him or not anymore. We can't even tell if it's daylight or darkness. Because God says, stir up your heart, stir up your faith, stir up your desire.
Right.
Our desire has to go higher. So, isn't this a phenomenal offering message?
Yes.
That's what I saw in worship. You know, we sing these songs in church, and we can sit in a pew for 40 years and never really know what we're singing.
Right.
He really wants us just to be aware of what we're singing.
Yes.
And of the words that we're giving, lifting up to him, because he does look at it. He does desire it. So, Father, we just offer you the fruit of our loins, Lord, that we offer you the fruit of our labors, but Lord, we want to lift them up to you in an attitude of holy surrender.
Yes, Lord.
And holy desire.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, we long to just open every part of our being and just completely invite you to fill every part of us, Lord,
yes,
of who we are, that we become who you are.
Yes, Lord.
A full transformation. A full habitation. We give you the invitation, Lord, come. And the Spirit and the Bride will both say, come.
Yes, come.
Hallelujah. Well, Pat womped all over my beginning of my message already, so you might as well go back to Psalm 67. Because he didn't read my notes. I'll read to you from the Amplified Version. There's seven verses, and seven is the number of completion of his spirit, of his being. And it says, God, be merciful and gracious to us, and bless us, and cause your face to shine upon us and among us.
Yes.
Selah, pause and calmly think of that. How can we pause and think of that and be calm? If we really understood what that was meaning, Lord, cause the outraying shafts of light from your face to shine upon us and among us. If it's among us, that means it's shining out of all of us. That every one of us are little lighthouses in here, and rays are shooting out of us. That your way may be known on the earth, and your saving power, your deliverance, and your salvation among the nations. What's going to get the nations saved? When they see God in his forms and manifestations. When they see God rising up in the earth. They are looking for God. And God is about to show up in phenomenal ways.
Amen.
Which I'll talk about tonight. Verse 3, let the peoples praise you and turn away from their idols. And one of the definitions of idols is ideals.
Yes.
Because we have ideals, very strong ideals, and they become idols in our heart if they're not right ideals. And give thanks to you, O God, and let the peoples praise you and give thanks to you. O, let the nations be glad and sing for joy. Right now, are the nations glad and are they singing for joy? For you will judge the people fairly and guide and lead and drive the nations on the earth. Is God doing that right now? Yes, he is, but we don't see it. But it says the nations will see it and they will be full of joy. So there is a manifestation of God that's going to take over things on the earth in such a way that that people on the earth will see the living God bringing change on the earth. That's what that verse says.
Yes.
Let the peoples praise you and turn away from their idols and give thanks to you.
Yes.
O God, let the peoples praise you and give thanks to you. Verse 6, the earth has yielded its harvest. Has it yielded it yet?
No.
Okay. In evidence of God's approval, God, even our own God, will bless us.
Yes.
God will bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall reverently hear him. Do they hear him right now?
No.
So, someone is coming to not just shake the earth. That's already shaking. He's coming to fill the earth with the knowledge of him. He's coming to reveal himself to every person on the planet so they would have a chance and a choice.
That's right.
And to every nation so they can choose to be sheep or goat.
That's right.
He's coming to change the course of the nations and the earth and to give them a visitation. Doesn't that say that? And the nations will be glad and sing for joy, for they will see their Savior. That's what the scripture says. So there's a lot coming, and he wants us to understand he has a detailed plan.
Yes.
But we're going to have to start listening to him and not man.
Amen.
We're going to have to stop getting our eyes off of people who go off.
That's right.
Who can go off or will go off.
Yes.
And start listening to the one who leads us from within. And then when people speak something, you will know if that's God or not.
That's right.
But most of the church isn't there yet, and they better get there. Because God is speaking, and we're not listening. So God is coming stronger, and that's why he's shaking things. And he's challenging us, hear my voice for yourself.
That's right.
Or you're going to be led astray.
That's right.
Okay, so there's a few things I want to share tonight, because as I've been seeking the Lord, according to this psalm, and the Lord's been speaking to us, he began to give me experiences beginning on Rosh Hashanah and ending on Yom Kippur, and I wanted to share a few of them. I started to share with you on Friday night a little bit. One of them that I saw on Rosh Hashanah, I will share during the gathering, because there's not enough time tonight, and I feel it's more to deliver that one on, at the gathering when I speak on Saturday afternoon. But I wanted to share some of these encounters I had, because my life has changed. I mean, my life is changing, and I like change, and so I'm up for the adventure, so I don't care. Just visit me, Jesus. You know, we just got to want him. We just got to want him. Because if you want him, he will come. He will be drawn to you. You won't have to knock and knock and knock and bang and cry and say, Jesus, when are you going to visit me? He's saying, I'm already in you. Open the door.
Open the door.
Open the door.
That's right.
Lord, I long for you as the deer.
Right.
Pants.
That's right.
And I'm opening my heart's door. That's what he's looking for.
That's what he's
faith.
Looking for.
You're in the decade of faith. And we're more in fear than we're in faith. Because of the things we're drawn to. If you're in fear, you'll be drawn to the words of men, the words of the news, doom and gloom.
That's right.
But if you're in faith, you'll be drawn to him, and this stuff won't matter.
That's right. Amen.
It won't matter as far as your walk, because you already know your walk.
Yes.
As I shared Friday night, the Lord came in this encounter, and it lasted all night. And in this encounter that I had, my whole being literally opened up, because he who was in me began to manifest through me. And when I mean opened up, I mean opened up. I mean lights flashing, sounds sounding, things happening. Now, it wasn't constant, but it was when God chose to manifest, he just began to do it. And it's kind of like on the Mount of Transfiguration when Jesus took three of his disciples up. And he was praying, and all of a sudden, his being opened up. And some of the translations said, light shined out through his pores, through the fabric of his skin, and through the being. And some of the disciples heard thunder and lightning, and some saw the light. And they all saw a different, had a different experience. But they wanted to camp on the experience and not on the revelation of who it was. And it was interesting that God had Jesus choose three, which Peter, Paul, and Peter, James, and John represent our spirit, our soul, and our body. We tend to want to camp on the physical things, but the Lord says it takes your spirit, soul, and body to come into harmony and unity so I can fill it and flood it with me. We tend to want to build religion around what our soul thinks. Or those of, on the other side of the pendulum, what only the spirit thinks and no word. Or what the flesh thinks. And the Lord is saying, no, it's what I think now. Because God sent Jesus. And some of us believed. And God sent the Holy Spirit, and some believed. But now the Father's coming. And He, the I Am, is showing up as He did in the Old Testament, and even greater signs than that. Father's coming to the earth again, that the nations of the earth would fear Him or rejoice when He comes near. For just as He came in Genesis, all the way through Revelation, He's still coming in different ways in each generation. But He gave me a taste of some of the things we'll experience in our generation. Because we only see a certain part, so I'm just sharing my part. And some of the experiences, at different times, I would be speaking in a scene of the encounter, and there would be someone or one person or many people around me, and all of a sudden, God would just start manifesting. Sometimes there were flames that were shooting out of me and shooting all around me, and I was standing in fire. And I was speaking to their very beings, words that were piercing their heart, and they were giving their hearts to the Lord. At other times, clouds began to come out of my being, or smoke, His clouds of His being, the clouds that manifest around God. And they began to fill the area where I was, and I would speak to the people, and He would tell me things about their lives, and they would give their lives to God.
Amen.
And then the other times I shared Friday night about little rainbows of light, just all different colors, little rainbows, you just shoot out thousands of them. And they were just flashing everywhere like a disco ball in the air. And I would be saying things and people would start getting saved. It's not hard for God to save people.
Amen.
That we are in a global harvest and God is going to reveal Himself to every person on the planet and they will say yes or no. Other ways is the cross. Little crosses, little lights, just like a disco ball again, they were shining everywhere. They came shooting out and the cross was everywhere. And again, people were getting saved. The other times it was lightning and thundering. And voices were coming out of me. Because where is God in you? Where is the throne in you? And God was speaking. And people were, the thunder was crashing and the lightning was crashing and people were on their face before God. I didn't do that, I just stood there. God was speaking. And then the Lord gave me words and they got saved. But what was really interesting in the whole thing was the reaction of the church. Because most of the church rejected it and said it was the devil. That God won't come that way. Well, in Scripture, God came in every one of those ways. Some of the church went with it because guess what? We are it. And it didn't just happen to me. It happened to everyone that was willing to be that. And I said, God, I don't care if the church wants it or not. This is You. And we have to be willing to get out of the box and say, Jesus, if I'm a mobile tent and Your throne is in me, You can thunder and lightning all You want. Your flames can be over Your tent. The cross will be seen. The rainbow of Your covenant, Your promises of the blood covenant that You have, the symbols of Your relationship with God and man, if You want to manifest them, I don't care. I'll do it. Because you know, you just got to get to where you don't care what people think. And if you'll get to that point, God can use you. But if you fear man like Saul, he's going to rip your robe. And he'll give it to someone that will answer the call. So I wanted to share some of these things because God speaks out of fire.
That's right.
He spoke to Moses through the fire. And Moses didn't say, well, are you a demon or are you a devil or who are you? He knew he was God and he fell on his face.
Yeah.
In every one of my encounters, I didn't have to say anything. They knew and they gave their hearts to God.
That's right.
Because it's not us standing there. We are the vehicle, the agency of the Holy Spirit who chooses to manifest himself in many ways to reach those that can't be saved in any other way.
That's
right. So, according to Psalm 67, the nations are going to be glad when they start seeing people that are finally letting God out.
Amen.
Because right now, they don't like the God of the church.
Right.
They don't want that.
That's right.
They want to know that God's real.
That's right.
And he's the same as he was back here. And he's still going to be the same when we get to the end.
That's right.
So I want to share some scriptures with you. So if you want to go to Isaiah 33, and all these scriptures, I'm going to give you in the Amplified Version. We're going to read 1 through 10. And the context that I'm going to read these to you is, who is doing this? It's God lifting himself up to be seen among men.
That's right.
Because that's what manifestations mean. When God chooses to come to be seen among men or heard or known, he will manifest himself in many ways, many forms and manifestations to get our attention. That's what they're for. Signs have a voice and they get your attention, so we'll listen to them. Okay. Isaiah 33. One says, "Woe to you, O destroyer, you who were not yourself destroyed, who deal treacherously, though they, your victims, do not deal treacherously with you. When you have ceased to destroy, you will be destroyed. And when you have stopped dealing treacherously, they will deal treacherously with you." What's that mean? All through the Bible, God uses the example of God will allow our enemies to kick our butts for a while, to get us to repent and turn around and start living right. And then when we repent, then we get to turn around and kick our enemies butt.
That's right.
We get to deal with the enemy that was our enemy. But God allows the enemy to rule for a season until the church gets up and starts doing something about their condition. Because the enemy's not going to rule over you if you're not in a bad condition, is he? If you're an overcomer and a victorious one, is he going to come around you to challenge you? Not as much. Because he knows you're going to overcome him. But if you have sin in your life, if you're not right, if you're lazy and sleeping, if you're following men and not listening to him, we get correction, like Marianne was saying. We're going to have to start towing the spiritual line closer. We're going to have to be obedient to him. Verse 2, "O Lord, be gracious to us. We have waited expectantly for you. Be the arm of your servants, their strength and defense every morning, our salvation in the time of trouble." God always comes right on time. He's never late. God allows trouble to wake us up. And he begins to stir people to begin to call on him so that they would be expecting, "Lord, we're waiting on you, expecting you to be the arm of our defense, to be the salvation of our nation in trouble."
Amen.
So there's a transition that we're starting to turn, we're starting to call upon his name, we're starting to draw close because he is coming with his arm. Verse 3, "At the noise of the tumult caused by your voice, at which the enemy is overthrown, the people flee. At the gathered of the inhabitants," no, "at the lifting up of yourself, nations are scattered." So, at the noise of your tumult, manifestations cause tumult, especially to the church. They freak when God manifests. That's not God. That's a devil. That's the flesh. Rah, 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 rah. Be careful that you don't say that to God.
Amen.
Because the purpose of manifestations is to cause tumult in the soul and the flesh of men that are not living right. It says that the noise of the tumult caused by your voice, and signs have a voice.
Yes.
At which the enemy is overthrown. Do you know the fastest way to overthrow the enemy is to release God?
Amen.
Yes. Is to release his manifestation, like love can dispel fear, hatred, violence, peace. The God of peace will crush Satan under your feet.
Amen.
When you release the voice of God through the sign or the manifestation, the enemy's overthrown and the people flee, especially the people that are opposing you, because he has lifted himself up, the nations are scattered. God is coming with many unusual voices and manifestations, because every move of God has them in every generation. And every time God comes in a generation, it shakes the church to her core. It dumps her out, causes nations to wonder, and they all come running to look and see and peek. But it also causes the church to retreat, because God purges the leaven in her because of his voice. Verse 4, the spoil of the Assyrians is gathered by the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Isn't that exciting? We get back the booty and what he stole. As the caterpillar gathers, as the locusts leap and run to and fro, the Jews will spoil the Assyrians' forsaken camp as they leap upon it. Like Gideon's barley loaf that ran down the hill. That's a manifestation of Jesus Christ. Jesus is our barley loaf. And all the enemy fled and we got it. Didn't have to do a whole lot of warfare. Behold, verse 5. The Lord is exalted, for he dwells on high. He will fill Zion with justice and righteousness, moral and spiritual rectitude in every area and relation. Are we filled with that yet?
No.
He will. And there will be stability in your time.
Hallelujah.
Is there stability in our time?
No.
It's coming.
Amen.
It's not the end.
That's right.
We have decades to go.
That's right.
There will be an abundance of salvation. There will be an abundance of wisdom, an abundance of knowledge, the reverential fear and worship of the Lord is your treasure and his.
Thank you, Lord.
And that was what was brought out in the invitation in worship tonight. The Spirit was saying, come. You're my treasure. And we were saying, come, Lord, you're our treasure. The reverential fear and worship of the Lord is your treasure and his. That invitation is going out. Behold, their valiant ones cry without. The ambassadors of peace weep bitterly. The highways lie waste and the wayfaring man ceases. The enemy has broken the covenant. He has despised the cities and witnesses, and he regards no man. That's kind of what's happening. The land mourns and languishes. Lebanon is confounded in its luxuriant verdure, withers away. Sharon, a fertile pasture region,
yes,
is like a desert. And Bashan, a broad, fertile region, plateau. And Mount Carmel shake off their leaves. And at the point when it looks like we're going down for the last breath, guess what it says now? Verse 10. Now, when you're good and dead, and good and wore out, and good and dry, now will I arise. Oh. Says the Lord. Now will I lift myself up.
Amen.
And now will I be exalted.
Hallelujah.
God always comes right on time, but he has to get us good and dead. Good and tired, so we'll stop arguing with him and fighting with him and resisting him and doubting him. And when we finally get in the gutter, he says, now I can lift up. We've seen the words of men. We've seen the words of the devil. We've seen the words of governments. But we're about to see the words of God.
Glory.
Because now he's coming to lift up. And how does he lift up?
Thank you.
In us. Because we are the epistles now. We are the tent of the Lord. We are the agency through which he operates now. And he says, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. So when he sends us to someone to say something, all of a sudden weird things start happening. It's because all of a sudden they're not seeing you. They're encountering someone greater than you. Who's speaking to them. And maybe that's the only way they're going to get saved, because they're not going to get saved by you. They're going to get saved by him who speaks through you and says, I'm the living God. Get on your face. You're on holy ground.
Amen.
God is coming. The Father is coming. Jesus saved the world. And the Holy Spirit purified us and filled us. But the Father's coming now to inhabit.
Yes.
Us, his temple. So let's look at Hebrews chapter 1. Verse 1 through 3. Now these are only some scriptures that I've had time, but there's many more, and I'm sure a lot of you can think of more along this context, but Hebrews 1:1 says, in many separate revelations, each of which set forth a portion of the truth, and in different ways God spoke of old to our forefathers and by the prophets. Until Christ, this was true. God manifested himself, the I Am, in many physical ways in the earth. He came as pillars of fire, clouds, smoke, thunder, lightning, the rainbow. He came as the cross, the serpent lifted up in the wilderness. You know, that wasn't just Jesus, that was the Father, because Christ is in the Father. He came in all of these ways, but not many understood except the prophets. And so the prophets' job was to communicate what the living God was trying to demonstrate.
That's right.
And what the demonstrations meant. That's why God had prophets do strange things, allegorical things, parabolic things, all these things we do. It's pictures. It's truth being imparted in demonstrable ways. And since Christ, the Father, has Jesus and the Holy Spirit have been manifesting. And by the revelation of the Holy Spirit to us, we all get pieces of the whole picture. But the problem is right now, there's so many voices speaking and so many wrong pieces that we have a wrong view of what's true. And it's got so muddied by the devil. And so many messengers in the churches are not from God. And it's caused the church to get really, really polluted. Really in fear, really worn out, and struggling to just believe. So the Father said he is coming stronger, and he's coming to manifest himself, to wake the church up more, to get her up, to clean her up, and to fill her up. Wow. And to shatter out this door. So it says here, verse 2, in the last days, in the last of these days, he speaks to us in the person of a son who lives within if you're born again. And his son speaks inside you. Whether we want to listen or not, he speaks. He appointed Jesus heir and lawful owner of all things. Also, by and through whom he created the worlds and the reaches of space and the ages of time. He made, produced, built, operated, and arranged them in their order. God is not freaked out about where we are on the timeline.
That's
It's already finished.
That's right.
We've already done it in eternity. We're just walking it out down here. You know, it's all finished. We were up there. We saw it finished. We're sent down here now in time to fulfill it, and then we go back. It's already finished. So we shouldn't allow these things down here that are shaking to steer our attention and to weaken our faith. It's written in our scroll. We just have to follow the voice of the Holy Spirit every day. He will reveal what we need to know every day. In whatever way he chooses, he will tell us before he does it, if we're listening. Says verse 3, he is the sole expression of the glory of God. He is the light being, the outraying, and the radiance of the divine. Jesus said, when you see me, you see the Father. So the Holy Spirit is about to manifest an aspect of the Father that our generation hasn't seen, because our generation is a fatherless generation. And we need that revelation to make us whole, don't we?
Yes.
So the Holy Spirit is coming with the light being and the outraying of manifestations of the fatherhood of God that is going to get the attention of peoples and races and tongues and nations, and they're all going to sit up at attention and look and respond, because right now they're not responding to a whole lot but fear. When fear comes in like a flood, what happens? A standard is lifted up against it, and it flees. Guess what that standard is? The standard in you. The answer to the fear that has shrouded the earth is you. It's time to let him out. He is the perfect imprint and the very image of God's nature, upholding and maintaining and guiding and propelling the universe by his mighty word of power. So the stars can't fall from heaven without his permission. The earth can't crack in two without his permission. It can't blow itself up. It can't be destroyed without his permission. Everything is upheld, maintained, and guided by him and by us, because he's in us. But if we agree with the words of the enemy and man, then we're not cooperating and we're not creating and guiding this universe. We're destroying it. So he said to me that these manifestations of himself are going to clean up a lot of the destruction that we have allowed because we have been in default for a few generations now. And these manifestations of God are going to heal a lot of stuff, even creation. Because when God spoke forth light, light became. Darkness cannot overcome light. So why do we cower to darkness operating around us in this hour? Why? You are greater. If you believe, you are greater, because he who is in you is light. Let him out, speak him out, speak to the atmosphere. Manifest the light through your mouth and change the atmosphere of your homes, your cities, your nation. Begin to give God, put God in the equation. Okay. So John chapter 12, if you want to turn to that. Jesus began to be burdened with his leaving. Now, he knew when he came he was going to leave. And that's why he was sent to the earth. But he was burdened because of the hearts and souls of men that weren't ready for the changes. Maybe would not receive them. And for the battle they would have when he left. So John 12, verse 27, Jesus said, "My soul is troubled and deeply distressed, for what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour of trial and agony? No, but it is for this very purpose that I have come to this hour, this time, and this place." It's for God's very purpose that you and I here have come to this very hour, this time, and this place. We're not here in this nation by accident. You're not here in this church tonight by accident. You were, it's written in your scroll. A voice from heaven then spoke audibly, like the manifestations that came out of me and people heard and got saved. The Father spoke and he said, "Brother, I say, Father, glorify, honor, and extol your name." And the voice came from heaven saying, "I have both glorified it and I will glorify it again." And the crowd of people that stood by heard the voice that it had thundered. And some said an angel had spoken, but the crowd heard the audible sign. Now we've had some audible signs in this church. We have had the audible heartbeat of Jesus beating audibly in our meeting, and we recorded it and put it on YouTube. It came unexpectedly. We pray, and we were praying in a sitting for the heart of God, and the heart of God answered and began manifesting audibly. And it surprised me too, because, you know, we better get ready for manifestations. And the heartbeat got everybody's attention in the room. A lot didn't believe it. They thought the sound man was doing it. They thought people out in the mall were doing it. And you know, it's 9:30 at night and there's nobody in the mall. There's nobody at the sound table. But we had excuses. Oh, it's this, it's that, it's this. But you know, why don't we just accept, "Lord, I love your heartbeat." And so when God starts manifesting, don't be quick to doubt. Be quick to say, "Jesus, come more." Because he's coming. And that's just the beginning. Jesus answered and said, "This voice has come for your sake, not mine."
Amen.
And that audible heartbeat was a good barometer of where our faith was at that moment. And we've grown a lot since then. But you know, signs test us to see what our response will be. If we will respond or choose to argue, doubt, debate, whatever, explain it away. I'm like a child, I'll take it any day, more Jesus. I don't care the scientific explanation. I don't care what. I just say, "Lord, if you want to beat your heart, here we are. If you want to thunder and trumpet and clouds start forming and fire flashing and little rainbows, then I'm ready. Because, you know, I really don't care. I want God."
Amen.
And Papa can come any way he wants to save this world. He knows what this world's going to need to say yes to him. We don't know, but he does. Because it's already finished. So Jesus answered and said, "This voice, these manifestations come for your sake, not mine. Judgment is upon this world. The sentence is being passed. And the ruler of this world, Satan, will be cast out." Why? Because he was going to the cross. He won that ultimate battle, didn't he? "And I, if and when I am lifted up from the earth on the cross, will draw all people to myself." Gentiles as well as Jews. All people.
Amen. There it is. Psalm 67.
Now, he did it symbolically on the cross, but has he lifted up and drawn all men to himself yet?
No.
No, but he's... The key to this whole generation is he's coming to lift himself up. Jesus, when he lifted himself up and left the earth, the angels said, he's coming back again to do the same thing.
That's right.
But we misinterpret it. He's coming to lift himself up through a people. to draw all men unto himself. He said, in 35, he said, the light is among you only a little while longer, because he was the light for that generation. But he says, walk while you have the light and keep on living by the light, so that darkness will not overtake you. He who walks in the darkness does not know where he's going, and he is drifting aimlessly. A lot of the church is like that right now. They have no barometer, no compass. While you have the light, believe and trust in the light. Where's the light?
In us.
Have faith in it. Hold on to it. Rely on it. So that you may become sons of light. So that we, you know, this Bible is written to the church. So that we may become. We haven't become that yet. Because we're not filled and flooded and manifested with light yet. But we're getting there. More and more. So that you may become manifested sons and daughters of God. Being filled with light as followers of God. Salvation is progressive. We can take the short way and be filled with light immediately, or we can drag our heels our whole life and fight God the whole way, and finally at the end we get there. But the degree of light we have is the degree that we surrender and let him fill it, right? We all have different levels of light, but he said, I want you to be the manifested sons and daughters in this generation that will manifest me to the nations. You're going to turn cities upside down. But you have to believe in it and trust in it, have faith in it, hold on to it, rely on it. And that is experiential.
Yes.
We have a degree of light when we're saved because he who is light comes in by faith. But then you have to develop the experiential relationship to increase your light, don't you?
Yes.
We have to increase our light.
So
Paul talks about that process in Ephesians chapter 3, if you want to go there. Now I want to say that when these manifestations were happening in me and through me, it wasn't just like me outside of myself watching myself, although I was watching myself in myself. Every one of my senses and every part of my being and personality was fully engaged in it. I was literally the manifestation of the Father flowing. It's not just, oh, that was really good, I feel really good, and then back to the old thing. This was habitation. This was transformation glory. This was a full transforming manifestation and habitation relationship that was full. And it wouldn't ebb and flow. Arthur Burt said, it shall not ebb anymore.
That's
right. So I'm on the path of that experience. I'm totally after that process. Ephesians 3, verse 16 through 20 says, and Paul was trying to develop this in his followers in that generation, and he prayed for them. And he said, may the Father grant you out of the riches of his glory, the riches of his being, to be strengthened and spiritually energized with power through his Holy Spirit in your inner self.
Hallelujah.
Indwelling your innermost being and personality. That's the verse.
Amen.
That's what happened to me.
Yes.
God, out of the richness of his being, strengthened me and spiritually energized and quickened with power by a spirit in my inner self, so much so it exploded out of my pores and manifested and formed in the atmosphere all around me and affected everyone around me. God is growing us up into that. We're headed into that because it's Him. And He said, I'm going to indwell your innermost being and in personality.
Thank you, Lord.
So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through your faith. And may you, having been deeply rooted and securely grounded in love, be fully capable of comprehending. You know, I still ponder, because this wasn't just a dream or vision. This was an event that was burned into me, and I still go back to it and visit it, and I ponder, Lord, I want to comprehend the depth of that. Because it's not supposed to be an experience. It's supposed to be an ongoing relationship.
Yes.
And so God wants us to be fully capable of comprehending, all of us with all the saints, the width and length and height and depth of Him, His love, fully experiencing the amazing, endless love, so that we may come to know practically through personal experience the love of Christ, which far surpasses mere knowledge without experience. I don't want to talk about it. I want to be it. It's no longer time to wait for it and to talk about it. It's time to manifest it. That you may be filled throughout your being to the fullness of God, so that you may have the richest experience of God's presence in your life. Completely filled and flooded with God Himself. That was the pinnacle. That was the point of the whole visitation. Was He was saying, Sue, that's it. That's where you're going. I'm leading you into it. Strive. Stir yourself. Energize your faith. Whatever it takes so that I can possess you. Now verse 20, 21. Who's going to do it? We're not. It says right here. Now to Him who is able to carry out His purpose and to do super abundantly, more than we ask or think, infinitely beyond our greatest prayers, hopes, or dreams, according to His power that is at work within us, to Him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout the generations forever and ever. God is at work, and because He's at work, He's giving us mile markers on our spiritual journey to show us where we are on the timeline so that we can prepare for the next mile marker till we all get to this. But we're fast accelerating to it. Papa's coming now. And that's what's going to save this city. It's what saved it in Finney. Father fell in this city.
Amen.
And they had manifestations of the Father all over the city, and they all repented and got saved.
That's right.
Guess what's about to come 10 times greater?
Amen.
I want to share something with you that happened Friday night during worship, and it goes right along with this. Because God has been opening doors in heaven and doors in the Spirit ever since Rosh Hashanah. And another door opened in worship, and I saw into a war room. Now, there are many war rooms in heaven because there's many battles on many different dimensions and layers, but this war room was different because this was Father's war room, because He's the one that is at war. He's coming for war. He's coming to destroy the works of the devil through His church. He's coming to destroy That veil that blocks the nations from coming to the knowledge of him. He's coming to tear down the veil out of the hearts and minds of men so they can say yes or no. He's coming to realign this earth so he can have a harvest. He's coming for war, and he's going to throw the money changers out of the church. He's coming for war. He's coming for who and what is his. And I saw the Father's war room, and inside was amazing. Inside, there were seven angels standing in a circle. But in the midst of the room was his flame. If you think of a pillar of fire, it's a minuscule example of his flame, the flame of I Am. The flame, Father's flame, was in the center of his room. And his eyes were swirling all through the flame. And his names were sounding and voicing all through the flame. Because if you read the example of Elijah, when the glory passed by him in the flame, his names were trumpeted as they passed by Elijah. When God met with Elijah and said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" All the manifestations of fire and wind and thunder and lightning and all the cloud and all those things passed by Elijah to God. And then God said, "Elijah, what are you doing here? Why are you in fear? Why are you running?" And in that room was the flame, and his eyes were turning in the flame, and his names were trumpeting his names. And the seven angels were standing. And their bodies were like semi-transparent in a way. Or maybe that's just the way I saw them. But inside their beings were swirling lights that were spinning all around in their body. And one of the angels said to me, "We are the keepers of his flame. And we are the keepers of his name in heaven. And you are to become the keepers of his flame and the keepers of his name in the earth."
Thank you.
Because right now, the church hasn't risen up to do that yet. But we're about to, because the flame is coming into the church. And the angel said, "It's time for the..." "It's time for the flame of I Am to be found burning in the earth among the generations of men. It's time for the keepers of the flame to begin. His living flame will descend and will burn in the midst of his people again. Men shall be filled with the light of him, and his flame and his name shall be preached again." Because guess what's not being preached much right now? What he means by preaching his flame means preaching the reality of who he is. Okay. He said, "Men shall be..." Oh, okay. "He shall be seen flowing through his mighty men again. His name shall shake the systems of men, and his flame shall shake the pillars of the earth in the great harvest birth. Prepare for his flames to descend and to burn within your beings. You shall keep them burning. You shall keep them turning, and you shall steward his names. He shall cause all men to know that he is, and you shall reap the hearts of men in a great demonstration of I Am. You are here to know and to receive his instructions to you for the coming years ahead. This is the year for his flames to descend and to live in his men. Prepare for his flames. Prepare for his revealing names. His door shall open to you and within you and then through you unto the harvest fields. You shall certainly walk it all out, and you all shall with him and by him fulfill your cause." one of the understandings the Lord gave me about how does the flame come into us is it comes into our spirit, our soul, and our body, just like it did on Pentecost.
Yes, Pentecost.
Because the flame, if you read in Acts chapter 2 and 4, even when he came and shook them again, the flame, it says, was diffused throughout their soul.
Yes.
That's right.
With the Holy Spirit.
Right.
And so the invitation is, God wants to consume our spirit, our soul, and our body so his flame can consume us.
Right.
And when it consumes us, it will manifest through us.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And because of that manifestation, even the sick and dead around you will come back to life.
Glory.
And so my whole experience began, these experiences, and the other one that I saw in Rosh Hashanah, I'll share that on, in the conference, but we're in a new year.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
And you can't measure where we're going this year by the events of last year. That's done.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
When the door of heaven opened, we began a new dispensation, so to speak.
We did.
Within the church, because God's about to sift her. And he's about to separate her, and he's about to lift her, because he's lifting up inside of us, in our midst, and in our city. Jesus said, when I'm lifted up, all flesh will see, and they will come to him. And Father's about to lift up, and this city is going to see God.
Glory.
And guess who he's going to lift up to? That's it. So, this is an ongoing revelation and an ongoing activation for us. But the one thing that the angel said, in order to keep his flame in his name, we have to be corporately in prayer more, because we're not keeping the flame.
Yeah.
Amen.
He said the prayer flame in the church is going out.
Yeah.
There's the faithful few, but he says, I want houses of prayer. Everywhere. I want a furnace of prayer. And guess what a furnace of prayer is? Furnaces. Little fireplaces that gather together to create a furnace.
That's right.
And it's not just praying lists.
Mm-hmm.
It's opening up and crying out and praying by the Spirit of God.
Spirit.
And letting the voice of God trumpet to the principalities and powers what thus saith the Lord is saying. Because God says that we, the manifested sons, will manifest God to the principalities and powers of the world, won't we?
Yes.
So, Father's coming to lift up, and it comes through Jesus Christ that's in us. It comes by the agency of the Holy Spirit, and Jesus said, if you see me, you see the Father. The world has not seen the Father, but he's coming now. And every nation will see him. And every person will be shaken by him. And it says they will come running to him.
That's right.
And it's begun. And it's begun in us. And the Lord says, strive for that. Stir up yourself. Stir up the spirit within you. Fan into flame the gifts of God within you. Fan them into flame. In your spirit, your soul, and body, be a living offering. And the Father will begin manifesting everywhere we go, because he's on the move.
That's right.
Dad. I want you to tell your experience yesterday about the fire.
About the fire.
When you saw the fire consuming you.
Oh, here?
Yeah, because that goes along with what Sue said about it.
Yeah. Yesterday, we were here for the prayer meeting, and I expressed to Patrick that as I sat there, I saw the fire of the Lord come in and exhume us. Or consume us.
All of our being.
I didn't fully understand it, but I felt us being kind of consumed by the fire of the Lord as kind of an offering.
Amen.
As far as I could tell.
So that was confirmation, what she saw.
Yeah,
what she saw.
Yeah, it happened.
You saw his Friday, he saw his the next day, Saturday.
Yeah.
The fire hit him on the front row, and he started shaking and crying out, and everyone ran and put their hands. See, God is coming to quicken our mortal bodies.
Amen.
That's right.
He's coming to reveal himself to the earth and to the church, but to the earth.
Amen.
And you're here tonight to know he's coming to you.
That's right.
He's coming and every night I say, Lord, visit me. Come more, reveal yourself to me. Take me up, Lord. Whatever you want, here I am.
That's right.
I want to know you.
That's right.
And when you say that,
yep,
he's more than happy to come and engage you. He wants us to give everything. Don't hold anything back, and don't be afraid of those around you. Who cares what they think?
Amen. That's right.
Who cares what your relatives think?
That's right.
Your boss thinks, your kids think.
Yes.
Doesn't matter. You must follow God.
That's right.
And you must let God be God. In the church, it's time we let God be God.
Mm-hmm.
And so we want to encourage you to get on the prayer watches and start crying out because fire is falling. Fire is falling.
Yes.
And he's going to consume your flesh, your spirit, your soul. He's going to weave himself through your being. He's going to take possession of you and wield you like Gideon,
yeah,
like all the judges.
Amen.
When God took them over and did supernatural things to destroy the works of the devil,
yes,
that bound their generation. You're the new judges. You're the new Gideons. You're the new Samsons. You're the new ones that are going to be,
yes,
God taken over to do strange, magnificent, marvelous things to save this nation and the generations, and it's begun. And he's here to take possession of you this year.
And the Lord just quickened me that when the Lord gave us that prophecy to Bob Jones the first time he was here, he was... One of the prophecies that goes with, was part of those prophecies, was he said, I saw the church become like Samson. And he said, I saw Samson in the vision, and Samson came up to carry off the gates of the cities. This city that God was going to take. That's what he said. And he saw Samson come up like he did, and he lifted those things, and then he showed him the gates of hell. He lifted up and demolished the gates of hell. And there were four gates of hell. It was ambition, competition, suspicion, and division. These were the four gates of hell that the anointing of Samson. And he said Samson's name in the Hebrew meant little son, because he had a little of the son in him. Because that was the Old Testament.
Yes.
But that's what his name means.
Yes.
And he said, see, the sons and daughters of God are going to come under the anointing of Samson here, and we're going to affect the gates, and the gates of hell will not prevail against the church here. And the city will be saved.
Yes.
See, those were the gates of the city that he carried off. And Bob said, this has to do with this city being taken, that Finney anointing again for God. But he said what Sue said. See, God, brothers and sisters, he has not changed.
He has not changed.
He still anoints people like Samson.
Yes.
That's what the prophet told us. He said, I saw it in the vision. It's for Rochester, New York. It's for the church here. God is going to do it here. And now God is doing it. And that's why the Lord has given this to Sue, because it's the timing of God for these prophecies to be fulfilled.
Yes.
So we need to understand. Study Samson. Study Gideon. Study these judges, because God had prophesied that he was restoring the judges to the church. That we needed the ministry of the judges like in the book of Judges. So you need to be studying the book of Judges.
But the interesting part of this, and this is what I have always wondered, right? Way back when I was saved and going to Bethel and everything, right? We learned about Pentecost. The 120 up in that room, God told them, don't leave till the Holy Ghost shows up. And I always wondered, we have the Holy Ghost, but I am not changed like that. See, this is it. When the Holy Ghost,
yes,
fell on them with fire on,
yes,
them, and then they left that room and they saw different people. They saw unlearned people speaking eloquently,
yes,
and tremendously awesome.
Yes.
And they could hear all their languages being spoken.
Yes.
It was a miracle.
Amen.
Why? Because when they were in that room, they were changed.
Amen.
And we've got to change.
Yes.
Because we have to affect the world for the positive.
Amen.
I mean, I prayed for my mother for 20 years. Now she knows Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
We can't be dismayed. We
Amen.
Can't be upset. God will do it.
Yes.
He wants our friends and family healed. He doesn't
Yes.
want them sick. How many in this room have people in their families sick?
Yes. Yes.
We all do. We all have family with financial problems and all kinds of things. I mean, I don't have a job yet. It's terrible what's going on in the city. Who cares what's going on in the natural? I'm sorry.
That's all right.
We've got to know who God is.
Amen.
God gave me the vision. He said, the time is coming when I am going to encounter the world. And it's going to be yes or no. And if it's no, you go into the lake of fire.
Right.
You don't want to go into the lake of fire. Nobody does.
Amen.
Does the Pope understand he'll go in the lake of fire? We pray he knows Jesus, gets an encounter.
Amen.
The problem is in the church, they're not teaching people to have an experience. You must know God is real to you, not to the pastor, not to anybody else, to you personally. You've got to know God is real in you.
Yes.
Amen. Amen.
One of the things I said Friday night, and you can write this down, that will help you a lot, is do a search on Bible Gateway or whatever program you want in the Amplified Version. It's a statement full of and controlled by the Holy Ghost.
Yes, yes, yes.
And when you do, you will see every instance of when God took possession of someone to do something.
Amen.
Peter was full of and controlled by the Holy Ghost when he stood up and spoke. Mary was full of and controlled by the Holy Ghost. When you read all those encounters, what does it mean to be full of and controlled by the Holy Ghost? In some of the translation, it says his thoughts and words are words and deeds. God wants possession of the church. And he's coming back to take the church back because men have taken the church from him.
Yes, yes.
God wants possession of the harvest because men have perverted the knowledge of God in the earth.
That's right.
Yes.
And God's coming to possess a people.
Amen.
To
be the sons and daughters.
And we're at. So as God gave the invitation, Lord, my heart is panting. Come. Fill my spirit, my soul, and body. Consume me and possess me. Because I am yours and you are mine. And when we start out our prayer meetings like that, and we begin to cry out for that, he comes and takes it over and we have in heavenly prayer meetings on the earth. God doesn't want our opinions and our desires and all these things. He's interested in that. But he says, come look at mine. Come look at what I want.
He'll take care of all that. Even what
yes.
you're praying for, all these things and everything, God will take care of everyone.
Well, we
everything.
Just read the scriptures that he will, but he's
he
looking
will.
For he's looking for the platform to do it, and we are the platform. And if we will give everything to him, he will possess everything with himself. He will straighten out the troubles that he's using to shake us. He will turn the nations into the order there to be, and he will sweep in the gold for the harvest. And then we can go home.
That's right.
So right now, he's set out a picture, so to speak, another mile marker that we're coming into now that's begun. And he's growing us up into it, and he's saying, I want you. I want you.
Amen.
Because I'm going to use you to shake the earth. Mm. And I'm going to pour you out to all men. And the greatest adventure is about to begin. Yes, Father.
Talk about living epistles.
Yes.
Amen.
We're living epistles. To be read by all men, and that even an infant can read us. So I just want to exhort you to practice while you're laying in your bed. Say, here I am, Jesus. And see what happens. Because he's more than worthy to come. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So now we can go see Papa Eclipse, everything on the earth. Because his sign.